Transform Together, das Podcast-Meetup. Von und mit Johannes Schartau und Holisticon.
Hi and welcome to episode 4 of Transform Together, the Holisticon podcast meetup. My name is Johannes Schartau and today I'm talking to Jansel Zurgens. Jansel is an OKR and strategy consultant. She has officially been knighted by OKR mastermind Christina Wodka, who called her one of the most insightful voices in the OKR practice right now. Jansel is also the developer of the OKR solar system, which she is currently writing a book about. I always pretend to do this podcast for all the listeners out there, but the truth is actually that I just want to have an excuse to talk to people I admire, and that's why Jansel is here today, so I can ask her all the questions I'm interested in. So thank you so much for your time and welcome to the podcast.
Of course, Johannes. Thank you for inviting me and for all these kind words in your introduction. Thank you very much.
Well, you earned it. Do you want to get into it? I have a lot of questions for you.
Of course. Let's go.
Awesome. It seems like everyone is struggling using OKRs. Do you have an explanation why that happens? So I just see people complaining and it's become one of those topics when I meet friends or I'm at a barbecue somewhere and then people start talking about this and it's always the same story that they tried it, it's difficult. Do you know why?
Well, I don't know why exactly, but I have some observations. Maybe, you know, that could be the reason in my experience, at least, with the clients that I work with. Or the conversations I'm having also in the barbecue with people I haven't worked for, but they do OKRs. So I think one of the most outstanding observation I have there is that people treat OKR as a tool to install, and then they think it will work automatically. Some organizations even start with OKRs by installing as OKR software, and then they think, okay, now it will work. Now we have OKRs in our system. But OKR is more than that. OKR is definitely more than just a tool. It is part of a bigger system, and if the system around it is not adjusted, if you don't change the way you talk about strategy, how you embed strategy conversation into your day-to-day business, then of course OKR won't give you any value. Maybe that's one of the basic observations I have. Another one is they treat OKR also like something that the teams should do, something that happens on the delivery level, that teams should have OKRs. But actually, who should really have OKRs is the leadership team. So it starts actually there. So if you don't know how success looks to you, how success will look like for your company, for your product, for your service, or whatever we are working on, then it is, of course, difficult for others to contribute to that, right? Of course, a team can write good OKRs, but it doesn't bring any value to the company in general if they are not connected to something, right? So, and leadership says, okay, I invite a trainer, I invite a consultant, they should teach us how to do OKRs, but then they go out of this process. They are not involved in the process. And this is definitely, if there's one commonality in all the, failed OKR in integrations, I would say that leadership was not involved is one of the patterns, definitely.
Well, I think that's very different from what most people assume, right? Like you said, on a team level, I want to use OKRs to make sure that the team performs or something like that. And you just mentioned the role of strategy, and you always have this combination of, you say you're an OKR and strategy consultant. So it sounds like for you, there's a deep connection between these two, and I would firmly agree, but maybe it would be interesting to talk about this. So what kind of role does strategy play when we talk about OKRs? Because I just want to install OKRs. Like you said, I have the software. Now you come with this strategy topic. Why?
Yeah. Well, there is no official definition for OKR, but OKR is a framework to execute strategy. And if you don't have a strategy, how do you want to use OKRs then? There's nothing to execute then, right? So first of all, this. And what I see is when if the leadership have not been busy in clarifying what our strategic focus is, and the team start with OKRs, it feels like every OKR iteration, they are starting from all over again. They are starting from scratch, as if they haven't done anything in the past 3, 4 months, and now they start totally a new universe, a new product, as if not everything has changed, and what they've done before has no value. There is no connection between the OKR cycles, right? But if, and there you can realize actually, there you can see that the strategy is missing. And OKR is a framework for iteration to iteration, 3 to 4 months. But the work we do in OKRs should have a mid and long-term impact to a company success, to something that we want to influence what we do in our teams. And if this connection is not given, then we have maybe good OKR teams having good OKRs, but they are rather local optimizations, maybe, which does not contribute to the overall success. And maybe nobody cares actually about these local optimizations. Even you can see that some conflicting OKRs existing in the company, because there was not overarching strategy combining all these OKRs in one level. So these are the anti-patterns that you can observe. These are the red flags you can observe and say, we miss a strategy actually. We do maybe good OKRs in the meanwhile, but we don't see how it contributes to overall success. And then people start becoming demotivated. They see, I have here, I invest time in my OKRs, but I don't see how it contributes, how it's part of the business, and so on. And of course, then people lose their interest in that.
So what does that look like in practice? So how do I actually connect strategy and OKRs?
Well, I differ between two types of strategy. One strategy is the fundamental information you need to have, like what is our product, for whom do we do that, what's the main value we provide. So this information most of the times also exists. Maybe it's not really visible or good articulated, but it exists. Everyone starts somewhere with knowing this is our product and this is what we want to solve as a problem for the people. Where I start my work with the organizations is creating strategic focus for the next 12 to 18 months, let's say. We know in long term, our company wants to have this kind of positioning in the market, but what is our move for the next time to win this market? You know, what are the things happening in the market? How is the landscape currently? We can make use of it for us to give some competitive edge to our product. This is a difficult decision for leadership to make, because it means you need to see the market, make a sense of it, make trade-offs, and say, this is not what we are going to do, but this is our focus, what we are going to do. It's a hard job. I don't want to be there, right? So I have a lot of empathy for them, especially I am myself a self-employed a solo entrepreneur, and I know how hard it is to decide on what to focus on, especially in nowadays where you see every day new things coming in, and you know this typical shiny object syndrome, and it is hard, but it is worth that at the end to have that strategic focus. And once we have that, when we can say this is where we want to go, then we can communicate it to all teams. Everyone understands what's the problem, what we want to solve, and what's our focus. Then teams can start setting their OKRs, contributing to that focus, and everyone knows what not to do.
So now I have my strategy. I maybe define OKRs, and what do I do next? Do I just cascade all the way down? So is it that I know I set these OKRs on top, and then I know some people have this idea that the management key result becomes my objective or something like that. So is
Yes,
that how
exactly like
is that
that.
okay? Yeah, great. So all right, next
That's
question.
easy, Johannes. What did you expect? Yeah, that's what some books say, that you should cascade from top to down. But in reality, I started also like this. You know, this is what people read in the internet and then say, okay, this is how they teach it in the trainings. And I also started that way till a moment I realized it's not working. I'm spending more time in administrating the dependencies between these OKRs then suddenly, between the levels and between the teams also, because we just copy the org chart. Yeah, we say this is how our org chart looks like, and we should then do our OKRs exactly how the org chart is saying. At some point, I started creating OKR structures that are org chart agnostic. I said, I don't care about your org chart. Tell me what do you want to achieve, and tell me who can work on that. And then we create the OKR teams accordingly. So I totally left this cascading, and I'm actually totally against a cascading OKR systems. And that's why the OKR Solar system evolved out of my practical work with my clients. And I said, okay, maybe at some point the org chart is helpful because one team still can have some OKRs that they can work on it on their own autonomously, which still contributes to the company strategy. But we have many, many, many topics that is not possible to work to work on them as the one team, right? We need product, marketing, sales, maybe together to work on one topic. So instead of doing handoffs between these teams, instead of having every team their own OKRs, I tend to say, give me your people who is on in lead with these topics. Let's sit together. Let's agree on what do we want to achieve, and then we work on that as a team together and not separately. And then do the administration work between these teams to see who delivered what. After that was delivered, then I can do with my key result and so on. I don't want to do this work anymore. I want to work with people who wants to create value all together and are aware of that if they work together, then they can make better things instead of doing in their silos their things. And yeah, so definitely my message is here, don't cascade OKRs according to your hierarchical levels or your org charts. Create a solar system.
Great. Yeah, that's a, I think that's a very clear stance. So no room for discussion or anything. So it's you. No, and I think that's really it's helpful for people to have this clear guidance. And what you're saying is don't do it, and you propose your solar system approach instead. Could you? So I'm just super excited to talk about this, and I know you're writing a book about this. So I'm just waiting for this to be released. But could you just give us a bit more insight
Sure.
into your solar system approach? So
Yeah.
if I, for example, I manage a company, I thought, oh, but this is exactly what I wanted. I want full control. I want to set things at the top, and I want to make sure that everybody works on this, and I have full visibility into this. Now you're taking this away from me. What do you propose instead?
Yeah, I mean these cascading systems feel safe, right? They feel
Yeah.
like we have full control, we can visualize it very easily, everything. And when I propose something differently, then I know it's scary. It's something that you can really have control over it sometime. Well, how the solar system works is how I started with it. Maybe let's work that way. I started with a client, and they showed me their strategy, and there were topics where we realized it's. They need more departments, even more divisions. It was a bigger corporate. And they all needed to work together because, first of all, there was no ownership for that new strategic topic. It was kind of a, you know, you can imagine creating new business models could be one of those topics where you don't have clear ownership of this topic, but you are rather in a discovery mode, maybe, right? You know you want to do it. but you don't know how exactly and who, which competences do we need actually along the way. So we had one of those topics in our in front of us, and but we said then, okay, who would we need? Who is actually involved in that topic? We had like three divisions, three team members, different levels. That was also quite interesting. We had a C level and operational level, really on the field, some people. And all these people we needed to work on that topic. And to me, it was like, okay, it is obvious that this cascading system is not working here. So we need to create a virtual OKR team, giving them this strategic mission, and then start with them. The first 3 to 4 months, we were, thinking about what would be the first logical step to work on. They did it. They did great job. They did some data collections, informations, interviews in the market, and so on. And then the second cycle was quite interesting. Suddenly, we had the feeling that we missed some competencies now for the next step in the team. Then we said, okay, we might need now new people. We might need other people with different skills now. What we did is kind of a reteaming. Parts of the team, the core part of the team remained, but then new members came into the topic, which was great because they brought new fresh minds, they brought new questions, which the other previous team haven't discussed yet. So the topic, the strategic topic, was able to evolve accordingly, and we made a progress really for that topic, which was part of the strategic paper for a long time, but nobody really had the courage to work on it. It was difficult for them to put it into a box in the org chart, to be honest. And this way, we opened a way for them to work dynamically, just asking the question, not who is the line manager and who is sitting in which box, but rather who do we need to create a team to work on that. So this was my first starting point, and I called this team model strategic theme OKR. Of course, in order to have this kind of a team, you need a strategy, overarching strategy, which we talked about first, right? So for me, it was then I saw these vision in my head, that this strategy is acting like the sun of the solar system, which pulls everything to itself and everything around it, like this strategic theme OKR, and other teams orbiting around it. Anything they do it autonomously, but they are orbiting around that strategy, so they are not leaving that orbit. They are all aligned and contributing exactly to that strategy and not creating another system over there. So that's why I started with this metaphor, saying strategy is our sun in the company, and we create planets, we discover planets, which is in my mind the teams, the team models, who orbit around the strategy, and they have their own pace, which is also something really new to many OKR people, that I say, I don't care about if it's 3 months or 6 months. You need to tell me how fast you can get feedback from your market. So again, it was part of the metaphor that I say, every planet has its own pace, depending on, in where in the solar system it is. Some planets have satellites. This is where I started thinking about working with the product teams. Some product teams are customer facing and can directly contribute to the strategy and can show their contribution to the strategy quite easily. But there are some product teams doing internal work. There are API teams, maybe platform teams. So these are the satellites of these customer-facing teams, and they align themselves with this product strategy again, with these product teams. So I started, it didn't happen overnight, this solar system. So I started discovering new planets every time I worked with another client in another issue. And now I have four planets in there. One is the strategic theme, the other one is the product planets, and the third one is the usual team we already have existing in our company, like HR can do some autonomous work that can contribute to company strategy, that can enable other teams, for example. So I don't want to say the team that exists in the org chart as it is not valuable anymore. It is still valuable. They still can have their own OKRs. And the fourth planet is the so-called shared goal. Yeah, that would be nice. Shared goal teams. Shared goal teams, I mean. Shared OKR, let's say. These are the difference to that, to the strategic theme here is that these are rather temporary topics. These are like two divisions have a clear mission. They know they need to launch that product, right? In the market new. We work together, Johannes. You know how we launched new games in new markets. The game is already existing. We knew how to market a new game in a new market. But still, we needed to have some collaboration between marketing, sales, and product teams. And this was a limited time. We knew exactly when to launch, which was most of the time Gamescom, right? So, and for that purpose, for that kind of a mission, teams can get together and have their own shared OKR for that time period. Once it's over, then everyone goes to their own teams again and do their business as usual, let's say. Yeah, so it might sound confusing. If someone needs more help on that, of course, I have an article explaining it more. And in the book, I hopefully will explain it a lot better for everyone to make use of it.
Yeah, I highly recommend looking into this because I think it's a really good metaphor. And for me, at least in the past, it's been difficult because I'm also not a fan of cascading OKRs. And then it was just difficult for me to articulate what is the alternative to that. So
Yeah.
I think that metaphor really helps, and I encourage everyone who's listening to read that article and then also get your book when it comes out. What's interesting is that you have a very strong stance on cascading, and then I heard that you're regarding the cadence or the time frame that we set for our OKR cycles. You're not firm. Do you have any guidelines, or what's your stance on the number of objectives and key results, for example? So often I
Yeah.
have clients who kind of, I'm like, okay, we have these 30 objectives and each one has 10 key results. What do you think? So any do you have a firm stance on that, or any guidelines, or
I
are you,
do.
yeah, okay,
Yeah,
let's hear
I
it.
definitely do there. My OKR guru is Christina Wodka. She is the first person who wrote a book about OKRs, 2016, and her book is called Radical Focus. The name says actually what I mean.
Right.
She says clearly, you need to have one focus, and that's your OKR on the company level, let's say, right? That's your what I say it strategic focus. That's more or less the same. You have one focus to work on, and on a team level, the less the better, I'm saying. The less, the better. If you have one OKR, that means you are very clear about your goals for the next time period. If you have two, I'm okay with it if they are maybe connected with each other, that these two objectives maybe support each other in a way. And if you have clear capacities for that, you know, to work on both topics, then it would be fine. With three and so on, I would be really careful about that. Why? Why do we put so many OKRs on our board? It's a limited time. So are we really sure that we can manage them all, you know? Or is it really important now? So ask the questions. Of course, maybe we want to do it, but is it important now to do it? Or is it something else we should give our full focus on it? So you can hear out of what I'm saying is I would recommend encourage everyone to focus on one objective and 2 to 3 or maybe 4 key results per objective. And Johannes, I had this conversation a lot. I know people like, are you crazy? We can't do that. We already have like, you know, how can we reduce that? There is an anti-pattern to see there, actually. If a team, if an organization, in any unit has too many objectives and key results to it, then I see actually no objectives and no key results in it, but rather a roadmap, maybe rather a initiative list or feature list and so on, which in my mind is not OKRs. And so this is one of the main mistakes, misconceptions of people doing OKRs, and which is for me important then to understand OKRs should be outcome focused and not output focused. And this is now again two new words maybe for people, but it is very important to understand that concept.
Yeah, that's great because that's actually the very next question that I was going to ask you. The clients that I have, they start, let's say we actually managed to identify just one or two objectives. Now it's about the key results. And then they come back and it's something like launch product X or finish this. What I always notice is it's so difficult for people to actually describe what is the effect that you're going to measure. How do you handle that? How do you help people become more proficient at switching from just this simple we describe the activity that we're doing and instead describe the effect, or like you said, the difference between output and outcomes. How do you handle that with your clients?
Well, I ask the questions like, what will change when you launch that one feature you have in mind? Why do you do that? What's your expectation out of it? How will the users use it? And how will that impact the success, overall success? How is the connection? This way, we are actually able to make maybe out of 10 feature ideas that are on the board that are previously key results, make out of it maybe one key result saying all these features actually provide us that kind of a behavioral change in our customers. And jackpot, bingo, here is your key result actually. Everything else, the features, these are just ideas, solutions that you can work on with the hope that these will change that kind of these will change the user's behavior, let's say. Yeah. If not, get rid of this feature then. Get rid of this idea. So features are for me like things that can come and go, but the key results will remain as long as it's your focus. So I think the main clue here is asking questions about what will change, what's the difference when we do that, how does the user change after that, what do we observe differently once we did these features. These are the kind of questions that I ask in OKR setting workshops to help people to think about, go one step ahead and say, oh yeah, maybe they will do that and that. So ask the question why maybe 5 to 9 times till people give you the answer and then finally find that outcome.
Great. What we're talking about here is that most of the time we actually bring people into a conversation, or we make sure that people interact in a certain way. Are there specific methods or techniques that you use to facilitate that interaction?
Oh yeah, now my guru sits here in front of me when it comes to liberating structures, of course. I use a lot of liberating structures. Maybe not the structure itself, like it is written in the book, but inspiration of it. Because to me, it's important, especially because I work in the solar system setup. I have people from different teams. I have people from different levels. And to me, then it's important that everyone still feels comfortable saying something, bringing their ideas into the workshop, and not let the leadership dominate these workshops. So to me, that's why liberating structure is a very good resource to look into and say, how can I now design the workshop for that kind of a setup differently. Getting into more and more into the training from back of the room principles. To sometimes I meet teams that have been doing OKRs for 3 to 4 years, let's say. That's quite a long time where you might think they excel in it, right? But then I realize, no, unfortunately not. And of course, I don't then say we need to do an OKR training again for you. That's not how I approach the team. I go then and say, okay, let's find ways. For me, when I design these kind of workshops, how can I bring some concepts into the workshop that they will change their approach to OKRs? Very mini nuggets in distributed into the workshop that they, without learning the theory behind output and outcome, but actually do ask the question, what's the outcome and what's the output? So I pay attention to these kind of dynamics a lot, because at the end it's important that the people have the conversation, everyone was heard, everyone felt comfortable in the workshop. We have lots of differences between an introvert and extrovert. All these needs to be covered. So it's not only about OKR in that case, it's a lot more facilitation and moderation expertise you need to have in order to coach these teams.
Awesome. Final question. Do you have any idea what you think OKRs are moving next, or what's the future of OKRs? Do you think, I don't know, AI is going to take over the way we write and handle OKRs, or any hunch, any idea of where this is going to lead?
I've been asking this question a lot around too with other, talking to other OKR experts. Of course, AI will change somehow. I think the first step that AI will do is claiming that they can replace the coaches. That might happen, yeah, for a while, till the organizations or the teams again realize it doesn't bring any value again. Our OKRs are very generic. We didn't have the conversation we should have before we set our OKRs, because AI can help to refine or bring you some insights or help you analyze your data that you collect from interviews or whatsoever, right? But it won't replace the human interaction. It won't replace the sense making of many factors surrounding us, the market, the world, politics, the economics, and all these things. This is something that we humans need to make sense out of it and then have the final decisions at the end. So I think this is what we will figure out with the time. The more we use AI, the more we will realize where it's lacking and where we need more human interactions. When it comes to OKR itself, I think the OKR is, because it's so misused and misunderstood, and many people just started hating it and have an opinion about, strong opinion about OKR, hating it. Even though Christina says, for example, if you hate OKR, someone is doing it wrong, either you or your boss. Very clear words on that too. But still, I believe that OKR will evolve into something outcome-oriented goal-setting system. Maybe we don't need that neatly written objective sentences, but rather like, what's the outcome? What's on the timeline? From leading to lagging, what do we want to see in short term, midterm, and long term? It might evolve in that direction. I see it in my attitude towards OKRs also. I really don't care about anymore that much how good an objective is written, as long as the people had the conversation they needed to say, why is it important? Why is it important now? And why, what problem are we solving? If this conversation happened and the team decided exactly because of that to work on these things, then I'm fine with it. The key results will remain the probably the heart of it, you know, becoming more data driven, becoming more a learning organization, thanks to data. Not only data, but data will support that. So I hope that it will more and more become about a learning framework, which I don't use OKRs just as a goal setting framework, but rather as a learning framework. So I hope that OKR manages to get to that level at some point.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We will link to your website and the solar system article in the show notes.
Sure.
Thank you for your time. This podcast, as always, has been sponsored by my employer, Holisticon. And if you want any more information about the company, we provide companies with holistic support throughout the digital transformation process, from strategy and technology to organizational change. We make our customers more resilient, establish a future-proof agile culture, create new business models, and inspire people with better services and products. If you're facing similar challenges or are wondering how you can implement the ideas from this session in your organization, please feel free to contact us. You can find all the information you need at holisticon.de. And do not miss our next Transform Together session on November 6th at 4 p.m. Central European Time. Birgit Nischalk and I, we will reverse the order of the episode a bit. So we will facilitate a session first and then talk about the results. And that's going to be about leadership. And it's going to be great. Hope to see you then.